Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ask Catherine and the Soleri team. This is Carolyn Betts and Catherine Austin Fitz. We're recording on Wednesday, March 13th for publication on Friday, March 15th. So, Carolyn, short, I can't believe it. I think this is our shortest script ever. And that's after last week, it seemed like an encyclopedia.
Right.
Anyway, okay, so nothing in cash and precious metals. Or where to stash your cash and coin. We dive in first with geopolitics and financial markets. Hi, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber and was wondering if you think we are going into a recession. If yes, do you think this recession will have the usual negative impact on the stock market? Or if the going direct scam John wrote about would help keep the market up? Also, do you think the powers that be are and can somewhat artificially keep the market afloat? First of all, of course, they can keep the market. So the market is highly managed. I mean, it's a highly managed, and it's become progressively more managed since the 80s. So it's a highly managed situation. Do I think we're going into a recession? I think we've been in a recession for a long, long time, but it's been organized so that, I mean, first we had a financial coup and essentially enormous amounts of money were taken out of the G7 economy while the debt was levered up. And now that financial coup is going into a reset. And the goal of the reset is to dramatically reduce the standard of living in the general population while consolidating wealth into a relatively tiny group of hands. So think of this as a body where you have a tapeworm and the tapeworm is composting the body to keep the tapeworm healthy. What that means is the system doesn't have a recession or it doesn't have a collapse or it doesn't have a crash. But you have two economies, the insider and outsider, and the insiders are going great and the outsiders are being engineered sort of into the ground. So in that sense, there's a recession. But it's a managed recession, and it is only happening in niches. It doesn't threaten the system, wide. Another way to look at it is you had one governance structure with one economy, the money got sucked out and moved into a different structure, and now that structure is growing and growing, and the other one is being slowly liquidated. I think we're in a recession now because when your income is going up by some number and inflation is going up by a much bigger number, then it's what I call a slow burn. You're absolutely being recessed into the ground. Any thoughts, Carolyn?
Well, that sounds about right to me.
Okay, second question. Catherine and team, the Haiti quake may have revealed oil reserves. It's a link to a 2010 story. Gold-rich Haiti eyed by foreign investors. It seems it's possible Haiti has some pretty great natural resources to exploit. I find it interesting that Ukraine, Gaza, Venezuela conflicts all have natural gas components to them. I wonder if it's a similar story in Haiti. Maybe all this violence in Haiti is just another land grab, like you always say. Maybe everything is to make certain people rich. I guess I'm not really asking a question, as I don't think anyone knows the answer exactly, but it's just eye awakening to see all these conflicts all of a sudden. And then you put in a trailer to Haiti Betrayed, which looks very good. I think the hit on Haiti was a hit. I remember as soon as Hillary Clinton got in as Secretary of State, Bill Clinton got appointed ambassador or special ambassador to Haiti. And I said, uh-oh, they're going to hit Haiti. And sure enough, I think it was the next 3 to 6 months the earthquake happened. It was clearly not, to me, it was not a natural earthquake. It was an act of war. The American military immediately moved in, and the next thing you're dealing with an asset and land grab of epic proportion. And if you look at other aspects, it looks to me like also depopulation. We did an interview with Dr. Daddy Sherry, who I think is one of the best sources, and her book on what was going on in Haiti is the best I had found at the time. It's really excellent, and it goes along with the trailer that you sent us, which said, for a slave, I mean, here's the problem. Haiti was a group of slaves who had a revolt. Three European armies were sent against them, and they beat them every time. And I don't think the powers that be will let that stand. And so part of the beat up on Haiti is, trying to make sure that that story of successful slave rebellions don't last. And I think the Haiti slave rebellion was one of the reasons they canceled slave trading in the United States because they were afraid it would spread. So I think there are multiple reasons for the Haiti hit, but one is they don't want that example to stand, but two, absolutely, they want the resources. So I would recommend that interview of Dr. Daddy Sherry and the her book if you're interested in it. And she had a great website. I haven't visited recently, but if she's still publishing it, I'm sure she's a great source on Haiti. Okay, banking. Hi, I submitted credit freezes for my name back in 2019. I sent information to TransUnion Equivalent, Experian, and info is, I believe that you mentioned that they are only in effect for 5 years. I don't remember that, but we might have. I'm wondering how to check on it as I don't want to phone the various agencies and have to verbally give my social security number. I would like to continue the credit freeze indefinitely if possible. What is the best way to inquire? I would call them and ask what the procedure is and then proceed to write the letters so that you don't have to give that number. But make sure you. I would make sure you send the letters registered, return receipt so you can prove that they received it. Any comment, Carolyn?
No, that sounds like a good idea.
Okay, the next one is yours.
Yes. Hi, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber and find the website somewhat difficult to navigate. Can I suggest you go to the welcome page
Oh,
other than
also,
that?
there's a new commentary today, 3 tips on how to use the Solari report.
Okay, and I very much recommend if you're a news subscriber looking at news trends and stories. There are lots of stories reported in there, and a lot of people don't really notice it. And then there's also Ask Catherine and Money and Markets. My actual question is about credit cards. I've switched my bank accounts to a local bank and credit union. Both of these institutions offered me a credit card at the time I opened my accounts, but I politely declined. I didn't even think to ask who was the issuing bank. Can you offer any suggestion for non-mafia bank credit card? It is probably the bank that you turn or the credit union or small bank that you open the account at. Ordinarily, I'm not aware that there are banks that partner with other banks to be the issuer, but the money in the credit cards is in the issuer of the credit card. So it's likely to be the bank that you're already doing business with. And if you picked a good bank to keep your deposit account at, it's probably also a good account, good bank to have a debit or credit card. But that's worth asking them. If they are servicing it, I have noted that when I had a question, I had a question about doing an ACH and was talking to an auction site, and they said, well, you'll have to call Visa or MasterCard, the number on the back of your card, to find out whatever it was I wanted to know. And I called that number and I was referred to the issuing bank. So I became aware that in some cases, the Visa or MasterCard or some third party actually services the credit cards. But in the case of my one location bank, I actually call the bank, which probably means it's not 24/7, although there probably is a separate number to report a lost or stolen card, and that probably is done by Visa or MasterCard. But if you have other questions, you'll probably be calling the bank during banking hours.
One criteria for a good bank is a bank that will help you with the credit cards they issue. So I can't tell you how many times I've been someplace and I've been able immediately to get somebody at my bank who immediately jumps in and makes sure we get that debit card working. You just want to have that great customer service.
Right. And on that debit card, just remember that if you have a debit card as opposed to credit card, it's a good idea to call the bank and let them know if you're going to be traveling, because my wonderful bank didn't accept a charge when I was traveling somewhere, and I realized it was for security purposes. And so ever since then, I've been calling and just letting them know that I'm going abroad or whatever. so that they don't question the charge coming through. And I take it as a good sign that they're questioning the charge, because if somebody in Timbuktu is trying to use my debit card, I don't want them to do that. It's going to be hard for me to get my money back.
Other investments in retirement. And this one floored me. This one floored me. And I just have to say, we don't have enough information to really understand it or know. So I'm a little concerned that we have insufficient intelligence to really represent this correctly. So it's Treasury Direct Lockout. Has anyone heard of this? It was done to me because I made a simple digital mistake on the security part when trying to add another bank. I fulfilled their request for paperwork from the bank and was given a case number. This entails 300,000 T-bills of mine locked out since the end of September. So I've never heard of this. And if I had 300,000 of T-bills and I was locked out since September, I would be at the Treasury's door in Washington, personally.
Right.
So I don't want to jump to conclusions because I don't know what has happened, but it's very, if you've been locked out since September, you need to make sure your access works. As I said, I was raised from a very early age to understand that one never financed one's enemies. And so why anybody would put their money in Treasury Direct, let alone 300,000. I'm tempted to say, how many people in the Ukraine and Gaza are you hoping to kill with your money? So, could I possibly get more doctrinaire on this, Carolyn?
I also just want to comment on the unavailability of human beings to help with issues with the government's digital systems. I applied for Social Security not that long ago and was told there's no such thing as a paper Social Security application. You either have to do a sign-in online or do it by telephone. And I tried to do an account online, and it got all screwed up somehow. And of course, there was nobody to help me. And so I did my application by telephone. But I mean, that's crazy. And it's, the IRS is the same way. Everything is online. And when things get screwed up, God help you.
We pay our taxes
It'll be even
by
worse
lease.
when AI is fully operational in there.
So Larry sends our taxes in by paper. We're not part of the digital revolution. I think I told you the headline came out that you could do your taxes in their tax forms online. And I sent it to our wonderful CPA with a message saying, oh, the American government just invented a new way to commit suicide. Okay, so no questions under living equity, no questions under feedback. The first question under Mr. Global, the only question, goes to you, Carolyn.
Okay, the question is the smartphone ever free from entrainment? How about my laptop? I'm learning new stuff. Well, start listening to Tech Corner, and we're going to be talking about this on Tech Corner too. Free of entrainment, I mean, certainly not free of surveillance if you are going to the internet, which is the definition of a smartphone, I think, is one that communicates with the internet. It depends on who you're expecting the entrainment from. It's harder to get through for parties other than the US government, but if you're talking about the NSA or the CIA or, whoever in the federal government, they're going to be sending out signals with everything that you get electronically, probably. So I hate to tell you, there are some who have written in and said that somehow smartphones are just as secure as laptops in terms at least of hacking. And I'm skeptical about that. Be careful with Wi-Fi. I mean, it's more secure if it's wired, and usually people don't wire their smartphones. But in terms of entrainment, that's done by something other than digitally for the most part. I'm assuming that it's coming through some kind of waves rather than the way you would have surveillance, which is directly on the line. So I don't know. What do you think, Catherine?
So I think there's 100% chance that you're getting entrainment on your smartphone all the time and on your laptop. Now, there's the general entrainment that just comes through the system, but I think there also is entrainment related to selected products. So you can pull up a video and it's got entrainment embedded in it, is what I believe. But if you have a smartphone, you're getting it. Whenever the smartphone's on, you're getting it, and you have to be prepared to manage that. And we have a new commentary called The Many Faces of Mind Control, and some of that will be helpful. I do think it would be great if we could find technicians who, basically engineer this stuff either at conferences or on smartphones or internet systems. So if we could find some people who really had experience in the telecommunications deep state engineering this stuff, I would love that.
I have another couple things to add. One is watch out for your car. That's
Oh,
probably
yes.
safe.
Excellent point. Excellent
If
point.
you have a car that's relatively new, my car is a 2006 Subaru, and I feel fairly confident that I'm not being spied upon in my car. But it started in the early 2000s with some cars. The more expensive the car, probably the worse the surveillance. Because they had those black boxes that were supposed to save you in a wreck in a Cadillac or whatever. Your TV is the same. Smart TV is the same thing. Anything that's smart is going to be involved in this. And the other thing is, it is a very good idea not to download apps, any more apps than you have to on your smartphone. Don't download things like QR codes in order to get a better price on something for coupons. Don't download something from, in my case, Joann's, but most stores now have things to download. You can download the Solari app on your phone. But there are a few apps that are, your calculator's probably fine that comes on your computer, but do not download any more apps than you have to.
As far as I'm concerned, smart means make Mr. Global smart about you and make you stupid about Mr. Global.
Okay, the next one is under health food and the great poisoning. And this is an interesting one. Good morning. I'm not sure about this yet, but I think these people, and there's a link, who are just a startup last year are selling pharma food, although they don't say so. And this is a link to a company called smalls.com, and it is selling pet food. And the person says, I have some in my freezer now, and I am absolutely am not feeding it to my cat. She doesn't like it anyway. They claim their food is minimally processed. Does it look minimally processed to you? Actually, I couldn't tell from the pictures on the link. The ingredients labels are so str also strange. All my packages, which have to be kept frozen before serving, say for ingredients made with cod and salmon. I'm guessing that means made by using cod and salmon cell lines. My cat, who loves fish, wouldn't touch it. I trust her judgment. Has anyone looked into the extent to which pharma food industry is moving into pet food arena? I know they're doing it with people. I sent this to Elza von Hamlin, who wrote our pharma food article. And what she said is, based on the website, I cannot deduce that these come from cell lines. This is what they say. Made with USDA certified whole beef and beef liver, sourced in the USA. And the same thing for whole chicken and chicken liver and pork and pork liver. And I also looked on the website and it said that it was 80% animal protein. So, and that there are some supplemental things and some plants involved, presumably the other 20%. But anyway, she goes on to say, if it came from cell lines, I would expect something like quote unquote cultured or quote unquote bioengineered in the label. Of course, there can be unwitting experiments, however, based on this website, there is no way to know for that for me. You would need to do a lab test. Also, for most of the animals that they sell, there are no cell lines available. I guess she's referring to whether there were salmon cell lines or whatever. Common accessible cell lines are, for example, human, mouse, hamster, quail. It is not easy to create a cell culture. It is a technologically challenging as well as extremely expensive. Perhaps if they run an experiment, you would want to monitor the effects more closely. Challenging and expensive. See this article, and she gives us a link that is says Upside Foods lab grown chicken. I would trust the instincts of your cat, though. That the cat does not like the food can be for many reasons. It does not necessarily need to be cell cultured. Interesting question, but you know, they may be going in that direction with cat food and dog food is generally made, at least the kibble, I understand, is made from the waste products that they can't feed for humans in processing human food. So some of the stuff apparently is really gross, really awful.
So I would just say I'm rarely in a grocery store, and because of the schedule, yesterday I stopped in a Kroger's, which I normally never do, and I was appalled at the increase in the percentage of food that was processed and how bizarre. I tried to find an Earl Grey tea. Everything was flavored with these weird flavors, and the coffee was flavored, and I mean, the whole thing was just, it just keeps moving further and further away from real food.
Yeah, and I'm making, I think I've mentioned before, I prepare my own cat food. I
Right.
have completely divorced from kibble for various reasons. The freeze-dried stuff is so expensive. I mean, it's like $20 for a small bag, and I mean small. So I don't know. It might be better for me to get a freeze dryer rather than buy freeze-dried.
Okay, the next one is yours, Carolyn.
Okay. I don't know if this is old news to Solari members or not, but I thought I would pass along just in case. As you know, there's been a certain amount of chatter recently in alt media about contaminants in your body and things getting set into motion by 5G signals, as well as what kinds of things can cross the blood-brain barrier. Here is some published work I came across recently finding evidence of increased blood-brain barrier permeability after exposure to cell phone microwave radiation. So there is a link.
Okay, so they've been trying to get mysterious ingredients into our body through the spray, through the food, and now through injections. And it's all meant, in my opinion, or a lot of it is meant to interact with the telecommunications, the EMF. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it's a system and it's integrated. And the effort that is spent on trying to get doctors and scientists not to look at this as one whole integrated system is unbelievable. And if you look at how much effort is spent to ensure that integration doesn't happen intellectually, the more it tells me it's real.
Yes, and so Children's Health Defense has actually started a relatively new whole division for lawsuits and experiment, scientific research into the microwave or EMF. And I would definitely refer you to them. There are a number of interviews that are really hair-raising about the effects when cell phone towers are next to people's houses. People have had to move out of their houses in order to be able to live. And the other thing that happens is that if you have really heavy exposure and have adverse effects on your health, that makes you more sensitive when, from having a cell phone tower nearby, that makes you more sensitive when you go in cars or in school where there's public Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi.
Right.
What it does to kids who are particularly susceptible is just a crime.
It is a crime.
And the really bad news is that there's federal legislation that keeps local municipalities and other local jurisdictions, or at least severely limits their ability to keep out the cell towers or
Right.
regulate.
And to talk about what it's doing to our health.
Yeah.
Okay, nothing in energy environment and then in bizarro world. Hi, Catherine. People might enjoy this 10-minute video using The Sopranos. Season 4, episode 7, to lay out the HUD mortgage fraud makes things clear real quickly. This is so funny because there's a very well-known story. I had a college roommate from the University of Pennsylvania when I was dealing with physical harassment at our little, beautiful little home, Fraser Court, in downtown Washington. She came and stayed with me, and I would try and explain to her all the mortgage fraud and what was happening and the explosion of mortgage fraud that was happening with the financial coup. And, Gay just couldn't compute it and couldn't compute it. And then many years later, when the Soprano TV program ran a series of 4 episodes on the classic single family mortgage HUD fraud, she called me. I'm driving down the highway and she called me and she said, "Fitz, have you seen the Soprano, show about HUD?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "I guess what you were saying is really true." And I said, "Wait a minute." So I was the Assistant Secretary of Housing and the lead financial advisor of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. But you think it's true only because it's on the Soprano TV show. And she said, "That's right." Sorry, go
Baby
ahead.
lost how many crowns from her head, from her mouth, from the electromagnetic, whatever they were
I
breathing
know.
in?
I know. I know, but here's the thing. In America, fact is fiction and fiction is fact, right?
Yeah.
So it's not true until you see it on TV or in the movies. It was so, I mean, the whole thing was such an educational experience for me. And I thought, wow. Anyway, but I took the thank you very much for sending me the YouTube link. I hadn't seen this version and I put it up in a little commentary on Solari because I wanted to make sure, I could link to it and show it because it's such a great. It's such a great example of the, and here was the interesting thing. It was done by HBO. So The Sopranos was an HBO show, which was part of Time Warner. And at the time, Franklin Raines, chairman of Fannie Mae, was on the board of Time Warner. So it was accurate. Okay, so next question. Say the digital control grid clicks into place. What happens on the outage days? Those periods when the AI software has to be recompiled to fix some bugs, the satellites have to shut down because of a solar system storm, et cetera. Well, you're going to get the Midianite thing. You're going to have mess. I also think, though, that the control grid will have great redundancy. So, but you're right. There are real problems with the control grid breaking down. Okay, other, the next one is yours, Carolyn.
Okay. Can you please comment on the credibility of the information below, which is a link to Freedom Law School? Different meanings of the term United States prove that few owe income tax. I understand this is very different from the sovereign individual stuff that has yet to stand up when challenged, however, this apparently has. Wondering if you'd consider exploring further the possibility. And possibly do an interview with Mr. Motahedeh, freedomlawschool.org. And he says, by warning to withhold voluntary funding from out of control federal agencies engaging in criminal activities, you can contribute to restoring freedom and prosperity for yourself, your family, and America. What we think is that it is a bad idea to try to do withhold money from the federal government on an individual basis, but we refer you to the taxation without taxation with or without representation article that Catherine and I did that outlines how we believe that an attorney general could of a state might create an escrow account for taxpayers in the state to pay their federal income taxes and then perhaps take a position that the money will be released to the federal government when the federal government meets certain conditions that have to do with obeying the federal money management laws and things like
Right.
that.
Right. I think this requires organization. And you know how you and I always quote Mary Holland saying, courts follow culture. I think this has to be, there has to be a political aspect of organization of many, many people. using the representation of their state AG to really make progress here. Okay, question 12 is recipe of the week on vegetable borscht. Actually, this looks very delicious. So check it out in the show notes. And then we turn to recommended links, and they are yours, Carolyn.
Yeah, that's a long recipe.
I know, but it looks really good. There's a
There's a
picture.
photograph.
And I love some of the ingredients, so I think that looks really
And
good.
the first recommended link is to the website of the gentleman who provided the borscht recipe. And it has to do with spike protein detox intelligence and foods and herbs with cardioprotective benefits. So he says some people took the toxic mRNA injections under duress due to coercion and peer pressure, or realized the error they made after taking it and now want to heal their body. The post link below is for those people. And then he has a number of suggestions, but the DIY version, and I don't mean that pejoratively. The home remedies and the concentrating on vitamins and, proteins and whatever things are available from people who've have some naturopathic or other training, holistic training in these areas, is definitely something to consider.
I
And there are
couldn't
a lot
agree
of
more.
detox, people have been detoxing from various things for years, and we also have some detox and chelation interviews on the website. And Christopher Exley's interview talks about detoxing with Fuji or other silicon-rich water. And that's something to consider also. And I will just comment that I think we put it in News Trends and Stories or on the Money and Markets, but Christopher Exley's Naomi Wolf was talking about aluminum contamination in various products. And Christopher Exley wrote about feeling very happy that somebody who's as widely read as Naomi Wolf would emphasize what he's been trying to communicate. And we have a wonderful interview with him and a book review of his book that I, Catherine, and I wrote. So consider that also. The next one is called Call It COVID Karma, which I'm not thrilled with thinking of this as karma, because it's about a journalist who demanded concentration camps for unvaccinated, is now dead at the age of 35. And he,
33.
would you say?
33, dead at 33, not 35.
And he's not the first news person who's been big on talking down about anti-vax people and then dying. And we don't wish dying on anyone. Definitely is worth it if you've been vaxxed and now regret it. Look into things that will build your immune system. And there are a number of things out there, including the FLCCC website, but there are others who are working on detox methods. And frankly, we all need to detox because people are shedding on us and we're being hit with microwaves or electromagnetic radiation and all sorts of other toxins. So the next one is RSV vaccine data reportedly reveals 30 plus deaths and 302 adverse events right after the rollout of this RSV vaccine. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the vaccines because we're pretty active with Children's Health Defense, which does a very good job of it. But I occasionally want to just talk about it and say, yes, you can follow all of these things on Children's Health Defense. What the article says is there's a massive push to remove RSV vaccines from the market after data presented by the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization, which you'll hear referred to as ACIP, disclosed the figures on deaths and adverse events. And the quote is, CDC data and the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is called VAERS, already show reports of 34 deaths, 302 serious adverse events, and according to news reports this week, a safety signal for Guillain-Barré syndrome. And this is reported in The Defender. Last year, the USDA approved Pfizer's and GlaxoSmithKline's Arexvy RSV vaccines for adults age 60 and older. Children's Health Defense often has a live transmission of the ACIP meetings where they approve vaccines, and Meryl Nass provides contemporaneous comments on what they're saying, which are hilarious if they're not disgusting. And it goes without saying, as far as I'm concerned, stay away from every vaccine. But RSV, Meryl Nass also in her Substack has written about the RSV vaccine. There is no reason to be afraid of RSV. And why they're saying old people should be afraid of it, because it doesn't happen very often in old people, is just, they're just talking vaccines. And
or they're talking about saving money on retirement benefits.
Right, right. And they may be very successful at that. But think about what that means.
Right.
And I'm going to put a link in to a story on that, because I'm sure we can find one. The next one is on neurodiversity, which is a new word for you to learn. And that is what they're calling people who have, in particular, autism, but also other psychological conditions and ADHD. And what's written is, now it's neurodiversity to let people off the hook and accountable. Anyone else notice Alice around, seeing how we're so far down this rabbit hole? What happened was that a young man, I guess he was young, who had reportedly had ADHD and autism, went to a women's rights rally and got all fired up and attacked a 71-year-old woman. And the local prosecutors did not charge him because he had neurodiversity. And they also entered it a block in anything that reported what his name was. And I have every bit of compassion for people who have autism, but not a good idea to go to a rally and getting riled up, I suspect. But being an attorney and believing that there is a justice system, I also think that not even charging someone is not a good idea, because it sends the wrong message. It's a sad thing. That was from Epoch Times. This is how out of control the U.S. government is. Can Michigan be saved? I had a slightly different take on this than what the title of the article is, which says February 2024, Michigan State Board of Education on homeschool registry is preparing to conduct warrantless entry into people's homes of those enrolled in homeschooling. Now, when I read the article, what it appeared to me was that a member of the Board of Education was commenting on proposed legislation, which is, in fact, that they would create a registry of homeschool families. And what the letter that the member of the Board of Education wrote was, he was afraid that that would happen, that they would conduct warrantless entry into people's homes to find out whether they were teaching bad things. And he could imagine that the welfare system, child protective services, whatever you want to call it, would become involved. And that is not something that one couldn't imagine. Sorry for the double negative. Yes, that is something one can imagine. But anyway, I am putting in the notes another article about that, because I looked it up. Actually, I guess that's where I read about the letter by the member of the Board of Education, because I wanted to find out whether, because it was just a Twitter, whether that was true. And so I have put in the article about it. The next one is digital 100% safe or is it a meme? PlayStation digital gaming disaster. Owners are losing hundreds of paid titles. And the subscriber writes, this is rather benign in the grand scheme of things, but can you just imagine? Sony clearly can't fix it pronto. Basically, the games that people had stored and paid for disappeared. One does wonder of the timing of this happening. The gaming company is in an uproar, as it is due. Many gamers now understand why all their stuff, games, movies, etc., is so woke for cheap loans, subsidies, and green CO2 certificates. Momentarily, gamers are pissed off. So a slip up like this is unwelcome. I think humanity is getting help from the unseen world in exposing normies big time to what is down the pike for them. Just a little thing Catherine also warned us about years ago. No such thing as 100% safe. I included this not because I have any particular fondness to computer games, but I thought it was genius, or maybe I'm a genius for connecting the dots and thinking, gee, maybe that's a way of educating the people who won't listen to anything else and won't look at news, alt news, and find out what's going on around them because they're spending all their time on computer games. Maybe there's a way to communicate with these people through computer game occurrences, what the rest of the world is like in controlling them. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
It is interesting.
And also, it's interesting. Apparently, the lesson is that updates can cut out what you already own, because it's
Right.
apparently happened when they updated their gaming system. But playing pa making PlayStations, they are making PlayStations without disk drives now. You know, one more way to control you and keep you on the
Oh
internet,
my God, it's really not
opposed to
yours.
something that you can put into your, you know. So you can't buy it on a disc and keep the internet off of it. So I just thought that was a great idea. The next one, Biden mulls stripping US Army funds to arm Ukraine. Anything goes if the big guy can get this cut. The Biden government is considering stripping $200 million in reserve funds from the US Army budget to finance Ukraine's war efforts. Though it would provide only a fraction of the aid current so-called aid currently sought by the Biden regime, the move is highly significant, representing a willingness to prioritize Ukraine's defense over U.S. domestic defense spending. So the Republicans have been resisting the funding of the Ukraine war. And so I'm assuming this is a way for Biden to say, well, I'll go find the money somewhere else. I'll take it away from reserve funds from the army budget, which is pretty sly as far as I'm concerned. Next one is how diversity education is DEI, diversity education, I don't know what the I stands for, is destroying US
Isn't it
chip
inclusion?
inclusion. That's right. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is from American Thinker, and it's reporting that the government set aside a huge amount of money for grants to stimulate the chip making market. What happened is they included 19 sections aimed at helping minority groups, including one creating a chief diversity officer at the National Science Foundation, and several prioritizing scientific cooperation with what it calls minority serving institutions. And the problem is that speed is everything in on the leading edge of chips competition. They need to be doing things quickly in order to compete with chips. And the problem is that these diversity and equity and inclusion requirements are keeping the companies from being able to actually get out there and build chip making operations. And apparently they put on hold the one that was scheduled for the Columbus, Ohio area, which some of the Q people or conspiracy people are pointing out it might be adjacent to the property of one money launderer, owner of many retail women aiming retail like Victoria's
Whitney Webb, did a great job of disclosing.
Right. Well, the plans were to build a chip making plant there, a great big one, which would be a real stimulus for Ohio. And apparently that is on hold. But so what's happening is that some of these companies that would be getting these grants are outsourcing to other countries to produce the chips in order to get the money. And it says it, they point out this requires workers who can become closely involved in the in processing improvement with the R&D and all of that. And they have to observe, measure, collect, and analyze the factors that go into increasing the yield of usable chips. They have to be motivated, smart, and numerate. I guess that means literate in the in the numbers sense. Because apparently a lot of the chips don't work right, or it takes a lot of manufacturing, trying out and success and failure in the whole process, which is part of the R&D. Lamentably, these qualities are not equally distributed among all ethnicities and all the identity groups that might be catered to. You know, imagine that there aren't very many women who know how to do that. Well, it's good to spur the training of women, but in the meantime, what if there aren't enough to actually get it going as educated now? So, TSMC in Arizona, which would be a chip maker, evidently was unable to keep to an acceptable level of nimble-mindedness. So, tired of delays at this first fab, the company flew in 500 employees from Taiwan.
Oh, good Lord.
This angered local workers, since the implication was that they weren't skilled enough. With CHIPS grants at risk, TSMC caved in December, agreeing to rely on those workers and investing more in training them. A month later, it postponed its second Arizona fab, so that their efforts to train local people failed, and so they postponed again. And other biggies also bailing on production here. Intel is also building fabs, I guess fabs means factories, in Poland and Israel, which means it would rather risk Russian aggression and Hamas rockets over dealing with America's DEI regime. Samsung is pivoting toward making its South Korean homeland the semiconductor superpower after Taiwan fails.
So I don't know if you remember this, but we at Hamilton, we would never allow more than 49 internal employees. So we didn't have to do an affirmative action plan. And when we went into the last competition, you know, we're up against Pricewaterhouse, First Boston, a whole bunch of other firms. We refused to do affirmative action plans, so we lost 10 points. So we go into the competition. First Boston, Pricewaterhouse all get those 10 points. We don't get those 10 points because we won't have an affirmative action plan. Now, here's what was interesting. We were women-owned, and two-thirds of the, you know, the employees qualified as being women or minority.
But we did have minorities.
But we lost all 10 points up against First Boston because we didn't have an affirmative action plan. Because we just said we're not doing that stuff. It's all hogwash. And
And
I will
yeah.
tell you, anytime I've had to deal with that stuff, it destroys productivity. It just increases complexity in a way that adds no value. It destroys productivity and it gets in the way of getting anything done. It's just demonic. I hate it.
Well, the other thing that happened was there were teams of investment bankers, and they insisted on hiring minority firms as part of the team. They required that of the big firms, that they partner with minority teams, which sounds like a good idea. I mean, I'm all for training minorities and women and, you know, everybody to do these things. But the fact was that there weren't trained people. And so what would happen is they would just build in the amount that they would have to pay the minority firms, which they did pay them, and do most of the work themselves anyway.
I don't know.
Because,
We found a couple of great minority firms. So we
yeah,
have.
that's not to say there were not some good ones.
Yeah.
And after a period of time, you know, maybe after a period of time, things can ramp up and people can be brought on board that weren't before. And that's really good. But when you need a quick turnaround, which was the case at RTC too,
Well,
but
the fun.
with chips.
I will never forget. I don't know who it was. I think it might have been a congressional inquiry. complained about Hamilton Securities because we didn't have an affirmative action plan and there was no affirmative action. So they required us to look at who we had for due diligence and how many were minority and women and whatever. And it turned out our women and minority owned content not had nothing to do with affirmative action, just who we hired and whatever. We had like more than double all the other firms, and our costs were 50% of the other firms. And it was very embarrassing because it was supposed to be a hit on us, and it turned out, when we had to when we looked at the raw numbers, we outperformed by a mile. It was which was co part of the problem. We kept working for the taxpayers and not helping the guys who were taking money out the back door, as you know.
Right. I mean, when you do business with people who have integrity, they do things like that because they want to, and because diversity is a good thing for a company. It leads to higher profits when you have greater diversity in
But what
people.
we did, I don't know if you remember this, we had a matrix of 25 cultures and 25 expertise. And you know what we tried to do in every hire is fill as many boxes. I'll never forget somebody running in and says, "You're gonna love this guy. He's IT, but he speaks five languages, and his father's British and his mother's Bulgarian, and we like click on four boxes here."
Well, you liked me as an applicant because I was a weaver.
Right, I remember. Yeah, integration. Carolyn's always been great at integrating.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
I know. And that's it. Nothing in take action. We ended money in markets today, and also we talked about it in with our wonderful interview with Sean Buckley on the First Amendment and free speech and censorship. It's so important to take action right now. And there's so many great actions you can take. Everybody's different. So do the thing that you're led to, but please take action. And if you're led to do financial transaction freedom, definitely check out our financial transaction freedom memo and website. Anyway, local gatherings. Carolyn and I are going to be outside of Cincinnati in Ohio next Tuesday. And
At
then
an
we're done.
agri community, which should be very interesting.
It should be very interesting. It sounds wonderful. And then on to the Radnor Hunt Club on on March 23rd, Saturday in Philadelphia with Ricardo, who's flying in from Amsterdam. And actually, Ricardo's coming to Ohio, so he'll be there as well. And then we go on. We have one in April in Sandpoint, and then Fort Myers, Florida. And then I've got two events in Nashville on April 25th and 26th. I'm going to be speaking, 26th and 27th. I'm going to be speaking at the Think Culture Summit and then at World Outreach Church, the Youth Conference, and then the CHD fundraiser. So lots. And then on to we've got events in Sioux Falls and Polyface. We're going to be the Rogue Food Conference on May 16th to 18th. And then a wonderful meet and greet in Charlottesville, Sten. So lots of opportunities to get together. I'm planning on being back in September and October. And so we'll have more in the fall if you don't make the ones we do before summer. So anyway, Carolyn, anything in closing?
Well, I plan to attend the Rogue Food Conference and I may be in Philadelphia too. So everybody sign up.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Ask Catherine. And as always, thank you for your questions and your intelligence. I said to John this week, I said, whenever the system starts to pop, well, we get certain headlines like Breakthrough Energy is around the corner or they cut the sea cable. So last week it was the, 2 weeks ago it was the Breakthrough Energy. And then this week it was cut the sea cables. And I said, there are these stories you get when the buttons are popping off the system. So send us, if you see a story that says, okay, the buttons are popping off the code of the system, send them in because it's you can definitely see the tensions and the friction in what's going on as the going direct reset goes into its next phase. Okay, so that's it. Talk to you next week. Thank you again.